Everyone turn to Revelation chapter 2, please. One of the things that that I've been even just talking to the Lord about for my own life is, God, I don't want passion for you to go away. And I'm not going to lie, this year has been a hard year for me. I think you guys know that. There's been a lot of sadness because of the loss of my dad. And though I know where he is, there's not a lack of hope. It's just the missing of him. And sometimes you can get sidelined by something. And even just spending time with the Lord, I'd weep a lot. Because, you know, you spend time with him and he comforts you. But in that comfort, you know, I'd be crying. I don't like to cry. I cry a lot, but I don't like to. It's so funny. But what can happen is in life, things in life can hit and it can make us, instead of running to God, back away. And before we know it, maybe some of that passion has slipped, some of that first love. It's not like we're sinners. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, we know a lot here. We've learned a lot. But do you know that you need zeal and fire for God just as much as you need the Word of God? That may sound weird. I mean, you'll get to heaven knowing the word. But the fire and zeal keeps you coming back for that intimacy. See, otherwise you can just get really rote with the word. And just like, it's the word, but it can be very dry. God's not a dry God. He's really not. So in Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." So far, so good, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like us? It really does. "Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and you found them liars. You have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted." Doesn't that sound wonderful? I think most people in this room and listening can actually put themselves in that category. But verse 4 happens. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now, whoever remembers, don't put up your hand because I don't want to know, but who remembers their first love? And who remembers that feeling of, oh my goodness, like that first time you experienced that romantic love? Ooh, I love you. Have you ever felt that for God? I don't know if everyone can say that, actually. I remember when I got on fire for God because I grew up in church. Like Pastor Jim said, a lot of people grew up in church. I did. Every time the doors were open, we were there. I grew up watching a father who lived Jesus every day, which was awesome and a blessing to me because it actually let me, took the words off the page and put it into reality. I loved it. But there was this sense of, when I was growing up, of I didn't want to be rejected by the world because Christians, God, the Bible says, you know, you're an offense to the world because what you call what they do unrighteous. Even if you don't say it, if you live it, you're still going to be you're going to be rejected by the world. Only as a teenager, I didn't like that. So I was like, okay, just going to kind of, and I remember straddling the line and I remember doing things and even just the attitudes and the heart of, well, God, you know, I'll be back, but right now I can't handle this rejection. You know, I can't handle it. But I remember when God got a hold of me. And it was when I finally surrendered my all to him and I said, God, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it means. Even if everybody hates me, I want you. And when I was sincere in that, God met me. See, he knows if you're being sincere or not. He knows if you mean it. But from that moment forward, it's like God invaded my life and I just couldn't get enough of him. But see, I'm a soldier. So I keep going, I keep going. It doesn't matter like what comes, I just want to keep going, keep pressing. But sometimes that feels like there's a weary side to it. One of my friends right now, my friend and her husband, they live in Israel. He's like Israeli American or something, but they live over there. His name is Chaim. And he's in the IDF. He's a soldier over there. He's on like a special ops place. Their actual job is to go into all the tunnels and find hostages. And it's dangerous because things are booby-trapped and whatever. And, I mean, he puts out videos and stuff, and it's like, just pray for us. He's a born-again Christian, loves the Lord. They have a ministry over there. And all I can think of, he's been away from his family for almost 2 months in battle. It gets wearisome. And sometimes loving God with a passion can feel wearisome because life happens. We're walking this Christian walk. We get content. Well, I know the word. I'm growing, so everything's good. We have to grow. I 100% fully support prayer, fasting, worship, and the word. Okay, 100%. We have to grow. But if you have lost your passion and your first love for the Lord, look what verse 5 says. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So Jesus is saying here, if you've lost your first love, even with all the other things that we're doing, it's actually something you need to repent of, which means you turn away from it, which means you somehow, God, help me to love you. God, you are love. I want to have this passion for you. I want to be in that place of first love with you. I wasn't even going to say this tonight, actually. The Lord, that's what he whispered to me just before we ended. Which means that we need to hear it. If you have lost your first love or left it, it's not really like you lose it. It's like unknowingly almost you leave it. And it's usually caused by a weariness almost of the world, the onslaught, the flesh, the enemy, just everything, the cares. We don't mean to, especially in this place. I know that we don't mean to. We know so much. Do you remember when you first got on fire for God or born again, whatever it was, and you couldn't stop telling everyone about Jesus? Do you remember when you first fell in love with your spouse? You're like, like everything was about Elaine. You know, everything is about your spouse. Same with Jesus. When you first have that fire and that love, it's like everything's about Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that, Holy Ghost this, Holy Ghost that. I don't understand people who reject the Holy Ghost. So anyways, that's another side note, but I just don't. I never grew up like that. Like you talk about pastor growing up in a church, in like a Southern Baptist church. I just grew up with the Holy Spirit always in my life. I just didn't understand how you reject the third person of the Trinity. And so, but when you get on fire for the Lord, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you know, the whole thing. It's like, that's all you want. It's you live, you breathe, you eat it. You pray for people, you minister to them just because you can't help it. And then suddenly, what? You're too mature to do that? Come on. I got it backwards. One of the traps I fell into, just being in this camp, and it's not this, when I say this camp, it's not this church, it's this whole message, and it's not anyone's fault, it's my own thing, okay? But I kind of got to this place where, oh my gosh, look at all these amazing, you know, men of God who know so much. I need to learn more, I need to be in the Word, I need to, you know? But that is not a substitute for being on fire and in the first love with the Lord. You need both. You must love him with a passion. I must love him with a passion. I can't replace that because I need to learn. Of course I need to learn. We all need to learn. We all need to grow. Everyone turn to Galatians 6, please. Galatians 6. We're just going to read one verse. Verse 9, and it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified. "Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. That word weary, it actually means to fail in heart. So unfortunately, what the Lord is revealing to me for this message is there's a lot of us going around and we're kind of like, we failed in heart. We're kind of like, ugh. Like we don't not love God. We don't sin. We still do what we're supposed to. We're trying to grow. But there's this love that is lacking because our heart has fainted a little bit. There's been a weariness that has set in. And a lot of it comes from not seeing what we think we should be seeing. So when you pray for people and they don't get up right away, when you're praying for family members who walked away from the Lord, I know this is from the Lord. The Lord told me this stuff to say. The trials are just, some people, they're so hit and onslaughted with trials that it's like they can't see beyond them. And there are some people in here even. Your life always seems to be in this merry-go-round. You need to get off of it. Maybe for some of you, there's a flesh thing that keeps trying to rise up and you want it dead so badly. But what happens is the discouragement sets in on these topics. Lord, when I pray, why aren't they getting up? Or my family member, they've walked away from you. Why aren't they coming back? I've been praying for 20 years. God, this pain in my body, I've dealt with it for 30 years. And there's a discouragement that sets in. It's a weariness. It's a faint of heartness, if you want to call it. If that's not even a word, but I'm just making it up as I go. That word, that's this faintness, though, this weariness that has taken over. And it's affecting our passion for the Lord. It really is. And it's affecting our faith. But the moment that we give into the thought, I can't do this anymore, that's when we're defeated. Because you'll never rise above your thinking, and I know that firsthand. And our mouth is really attached to that, especially for talkers. So if I'm upset, I like to say what I'm upset about. And I've had to learn over the years. I had a dad who would always pull me up so good. Enough, you know. Stop it. You're going to talk yourself into a depression. Stop it now. And I'd be like, fine. But he was right. He was right. Got to watch your mouth. Out of, the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, but what your mind says, it's going to affect your heart. And it's going to affect your mouth. But you're already defeated if you think, I can't do this anymore. Do you remember the story, the little train that could? Who knows that story? Do you remember that story? I had to re-listen to it to remember it all. All I know is I think I can, but I didn't know the whole story. Okay. So what happens? This train breaks down. He's on the tracks. And he has all these wonderful gifts for people over the mountain. Think about it. He has food and toys and all these wonderful things for people over the mountain. Think about this in terms of our lives, okay? So he has all these gifts, but he breaks down. So he's like, I need help to get over this mountain because I need to deliver all this good stuff to the people. And so the one train comes along. He's like, can you help me? And the other train's like, I can't help you. I'm too important for you. I have passengers and special people on board and whatever. So he keeps going. And the second one comes along and I can't remember what he does. And the third one comes along and says, I'm too old. I'm too tired. I can't help you. But the fourth one comes along and it's this little engine that really shouldn't be able to push the train up the hill or pull it. But what he does is he hitches the train on anyways. He's like, I think I can. I think I can. He starts going up the mountain. I think I can. I think I can. And he's like, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. Finally, he does it. He gets over the mountain and he gets the train to the other side. And everybody there gets all the gifts and all the things that they need. So, of course, we should be saying, I think I can. But it's not in our own strength, is it? You have things. We have things that we possess that other people need. And if we're constantly thinking, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, oh my gosh, I'm so defeated, you will never get over that mountain and deliver what you need to deliver to people. Mindset is everything. Remember what Pastor said this morning in Philippians 3:16? You remember? No, we don't have to go there. Well, I love playing with y'all. It said, okay, we need to believe that we can do whatever God has instructed us to do. It is imperative to our success, even when we haven't arrived. And Pastor, I wrote it down here, Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. And that word, you know what it says? To the point that you have arrived. Okay, I looked into it a little more. So nevertheless, whereto you have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So basically, even if you're not there yet, you got to think you can, till you know you can, know you can, know you can, but it's all based on trusting God. See, that's the difference between the little train and us. It's just not in our own strength. We're doing it in Him. So here's another lie that's been happening with people. Don't believe that you can't do anything for God until you've arrived. And you know, I'm preparing this message, and it was almost like God was giving me a prophetic word, because I was just getting things that I knew people were thinking and feeling, which doesn't happen all the time, but that's what this is. Some people have believed a lie that they can't do anything for God until they've arrived. Do you know that no one but Jesus arrived? And before you kill me, because I know that we're supposed to do the works Jesus did. Let's just talk about a few people. Remember John G. Lake? He was at like something like, okay, I don't have the exact figure, something like 75% of people in his ministry got healed. He wasn't 100%. He didn't arrive. Imagine had he not ministered at all, because he's like, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not at the 100% mark, so I'm just not going to pray for anybody. Yeah, 25% didn't receive their healing, but 75% did. They were healed in his ministry. He didn't wait till he arrived. He operated where he was at the moment, but kept pushing in. See, you can't do one without the other. You can't just mature and never have it come out of you to people. Because the whole point of the gospel was Jesus ministered to people. Jesus didn't just sit there and go, oh, that guy needs to be healed. What did he do? He went and healed him. So we have to keep doing while we're also pressing. So doing as in doing the things that Jesus told us to do, whether it be our call or the Great Commission. But we also have to keep pressing into him in terms of intimacy and that first love, because a lot of revivals and a lot of things stop because we stop that intimacy with the Lord. It's just the way it is. But we have to do. We don't wait until, well, maybe. Firstly, if you never do anything, how do you know what percent you're at anyways? If you never step out and pray for a loved one, if you never step out and declare healing, if you never step out and say, you know what, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not even going to know whether or not you're any percentage. Stop disqualifying yourself because you're not there, because you haven't arrived, because you haven't attained. I looked this stat up. Billy Graham, he ministered, they say, to 215 million people in his lifetime. Imagine if he said, because not everyone, I've been to those crusades, not everyone goes to the front. And some of them are Christians, but some of them don't receive Christ. But imagine if he said, well, that's it, I'm never going to preach the gospel because not everyone comes to the front. Well, we do this. We kind of put these limits on our lives and we go, well, I'm not there yet. So, well, I'm just, and then we don't step out. Even the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 4:20, I'm not going to read it. It says that Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum. That's not 100%. 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach and his often infirmities. Okay, it's not about wine. It's why didn't he just pray and he get healed? And why did he need wine at all? Even Paul himself dealt with some sort of eye thing. Okay, that wasn't the thorn in his flesh. We know that teaching. I'm just saying he did have some eye things he was dealing with. Nobody. None of these three people that I've just mentioned were 100%, but they kept being faithful. They kept pushing forward. They kept reaching out. They kept ministering. They kept walking into their call. And that is what we need to be. If Paul had the attitude, that's it, I'm just, no, you know, Timothy, his stomach is still hurting. That's it, I quit. Where would we be? He wrote 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. So, this is not don't mature, do things ahead of God's timing, but it is stop letting the defeats that we feel stop us from actually stepping out and ministering Jesus to people, whatever that means. If we wait to minister, pray for, or witness to others until we have arrived, then we'll never do anything. No one will get saved, no one will get healed, and so on. So the key and thing is to do both. Press in and also do. Grow and mature and also do. Do you know in the Old Testament there's so many warnings about people, sheep, who keep feeding and never expend? They're just fat and lazy. That's sometimes what Christians become. So much knowledge and we never do. We never expend. We never reach out Jesus to the world. It sounds so simple, but I want to ask you a question, okay? Don't put up your hands again. How many in this room feel right now, if I step out and pray for whatever, a person for whatever, it won't happen? And because of that, you just don't pray. You're just like, maybe I just won't do it. I'm just not there yet. We're going to look at some reasons as to why that might be. Big one, we're too familiar with our flesh and our flaws, and so we just disqualify ourselves right out the gate. We're like, nope. Which just means that we're identifying with our flesh more than with our spirit man. We measure ourselves by ourselves and we say, nope, failed. When we're supposed to be measuring ourselves by the oneness we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people don't want to step out, same vein, because you have been battling with a sickness. You've been battling with a pain, an illness, an ailment, and you feel like, well, if I pray for anyone, that's just being hypocritical. Well, it's not. The Word of God is the truth, even if it's not manifested in your body at the present moment. This one has been hard for me. We've prayed for loved ones and they haven't risen up. You don't think we prayed for my dad? You don't think we prayed for Pastor Dave, everyone? Come on. But that doesn't change God's word. I mean, something's amiss, sure. Well, it's not God. It's not his word. Don't disqualify yourself because of your own flaws. Second, we compare ourselves to others who we look up to and think, I'll never measure up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Pastor was talking about this morning. It's so funny, you're saying so many things. I actually took stuff out because I'm like, well, I don't need to say that anymore. but that's actually something about this camp. There's so much meat, so much teaching. And I mentioned this a bit earlier. We think, what do I have to offer? When I first got here, and I'm just going to be really transparent with you, that a spirit of fear was on me so bad. Like I've been ministering for 25, almost 30 years. Initially, it was just worship, but I started ministering the word in my 20s. And we came here. I was so nervous around Pastor Jim, and I was so nervous around everybody else. And I was like, I was like, the fear was so overwhelming. It's like I forgot everything, how to do anything. Not worship, but anything else, you know? And I mean, I had to battle that fear. I had to cast it down. I remember even when I first started worshiping, not here, but when anyone from this camp came up there, I remember I would ease off on worship because I just was like, man, they're not going to be able to handle this kind of worship because I don't always do written songs. And so I remember first time I worshiped here, but the first conference I worshiped here, Pastor Dave came right up after worship and he said, who taught you to worship like that? And you know, you're so like awestruck. And I'm just like, the Holy Spirit. And he goes, that's what I thought. And I remember Pastor Ron coming up and saying, oh, you've grown so much in worship. And I just looked at him and I said, no, I just stopped caring what you think. Not just him, anyone. It's not against him. I'm just saying fear can be our own stopper. And that fear will rise up because you're looking at somebody else going, oh, I'm not that. One of the things I had to deal with is I'm not a teacher like all the rest of them are teachers. You know how God ministers to me? I spend time with him, and then he shows me his heart. And then I got to try and put into words what his heart is. that's how God ministers through me. And I know that's my call. And for a long time, I was like, oh, I don't have all these points and all these, you know. And God's like, I called you to be you. Don't measure up. You don't measure yourself against a man. You measure yourself against what he's told you and your obedience to him. Amen. But when we do that, when we measure ourselves against somebody else, we're like, oh, I just got to pray more. I just got to worship more. I just got to fast more. Ooh. And then we miss the very daily things that God is instructing us to do. And that stuff sets in where we're like, ugh, that the faint of heart. Well, I'm just not going to bother with any of this. Because if I do, you know, nothing's going to happen anyways. I'm not like that person. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Do stuff afraid. Do it. Even if you're afraid. Because when you get to the other side, it's going to be a blessing to you that you're obedient. And that fear is going to have less of a grip on you next time. Knowing that you haven't arrived or that you are not at the same step as whoever you're looking up to, it's not reason enough to stop you from stepping out, or at least it shouldn't be. Another reason why maybe you feel like, oh, I can't minister, it's not going to happen, is that you don't know who you are. That's actually another big one, but that's not so much here, because I think you guys know who you are. You know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, don't you? You know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know that the greater one lives in you. John 17, you know that we are one with him. Let's read that one. Let's just get some of the word into us. John 17. John 17, we're going to start at verse 18. This is Jesus. He's praying for the disciples. He's talking to the Lord, and he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There is so much in there. But Gary Carpenter did this amazing teaching a couple weeks ago. It was making me laugh too, but he was just really talking about how one we are with, at one point he was talking about how much we are one with God. And if we're constantly measuring ourselves by ourselves and by our flaws, then we're really not thinking that we're one with God. But that's who we are, which means that we are his hands and his feet on this earth. That means that regardless of our struggles or our failures, we can do whatever he tells us to do. We can do it. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But it's one thing to know it. You cannot say in this church that you don't know stuff. It's another thing to digest it, to believe it, and to act on it. And the final point on that, I mean, there could be more, obviously, but one of the reasons why we stop stepping out, of course, it's the first love thing, too. Just coming back to that for a second. If you can't help but talk about the one that you love, Jesus is just going to pour out of you. That's just how it's going to be. But it's also because maybe we've forgotten that it's faith that receives what Jesus has already done. Amen. It's not your maturity. I'm serious. We need to mature. But maturity is the sustaining factor that we need to grow in him and walk in that intimacy. But if it's just about our maturity, then it's about us and not what Jesus did. Sometimes we need our faith to grow, which means we need to press more into the word, right? Not doubt in our hearts, confess the word of God, get the word into us, because faith comes by hearing the word. But you know that you don't have to be a spiritual mature giant to operate in faith. Do you know that in the Bible, people weren't even saved and they operated in faith? But what about the centurion? God just speak the word. Jesus speak the word. He had no covenant with God. He was not born again. He was not a spiritual giant, but he had faith. So what we do sometimes without meaning to is we replace all the things we know like that, just basic stuff. God, I'm not mature enough. I want to see more in my life. I'm not mature enough. So we do all these things, but we forget that sometimes it's just that childlike, simple faith that just gets the job done. What about that, the Syrophoenician lady who came, and Jesus is like, called her, you know, not going to give, he called her dog. He's not going to, I'm not going to give, you know, food to the dogs. And she's like, but even the, you know, the dogs lick from the crumbs from the master's table. And her, you know, it's great as your faith. And she wasn't saved. Babes in Christ. Isn't that amazing? When you get saved and filled with the Spirit, you know what you can do right away? Pray in tongues, worship the Lord, and operate in faith. All the other stuff is not automatic. You got to study the word and know the word and confess the word and train your mouth and all that stuff, but you can do those things. Have we forgotten sometimes that it's faith that moves mountains? I am so about maturing because I grew up in church where people were bouncing all over the place. Okay, and I remember Elaine and I met in youth group, and that church was going through a split, and all those teenagers were like, these adults are crazy. Which is partly why I'm a very real person. Okay, so like I don't want to mess around. Like I have compassion, don't get me wrong, but it's like I saw too much growing up, saw a lot of divisions. Sometimes we forget that it's just simple faith. There's a story that I heard recently. And it was about healing, and I'm not going to relay who it was or the whole story, but basically there was this minister, and he was in a restaurant, and he was ministering to the waitress, and then she was getting mad at him, called the manager, and the manager came out, and he was like belligerent atheist. And the Lord gave this man a word of knowledge for him that his knee had blown out, and he was mad at God, and he's going to heal his knee. So he told them this. He's like, I don't believe it. And he said, well, I want to pray for you anyways. We can do it here. We can do it over there. And so the manager brought him back, but he's all like, it's not going to happen. Ha, ha, ha. God's dead and, you know, whatever. Well, the minister says to him, okay, you muster up as much unbelief as you can. And God is going to show you that your unbelief does not match his healing. Would you say that to somebody? Don't you say, okay, believe God, trust God, okay? And you're like working it up, and you're like, okay, God, please, please, in the back of your head, please, 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 let this happen. Can you say, muster up all the unbelief that you can? Because you know that your God is going to heal him. You're so convinced of the word that knee is going to be healed that you say to the person, muster up unbelief, it won't matter. Jesus is the healer. He's going to heal you right now. Ooh, I'm excited. I want to do that. I want to do it. I'm going to call up Miss Arian right now. She's going to tell you a story about a healing that not many people know. This happened. Arian, how long you been walking with the Lord strong like this?
I say since I got born again and started coming to GCC around 4 years now, since I've had Titus.
Okay, would you say that she is a 50-year-old, you know, Christian? No.
I hope not.
So, listen to what happened. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of you guys may know about my son, Aziel, and he was born 3 months early, and he spent 3 months in the NICU. Well, when he was getting discharged from the NICU, he did a bunch of tests, and he only failed one of his tests upon being discharged, and it was his eyesight test. leaving the hospital with him failing the test, he was sent with an order to be checked out for retina of prematurity. And what happens is when you're born a little early, there can be abnormal growths behind the eye where you can't have the light come through the eye where you're able to see out. So leaving the hospital, Aziel could not see. And so the first appointment with the ophthalmologist, they diagnosed him with it. And on that paper, it was a lot of scary stuff. The worst being legally blind for the rest of his life, another one having major surgery, or another one, him needing C&I glasses. Well, my husband was at work, so immediately I called him. And he was like, "Don't tell anybody. We're just going to believe for healing. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to believe for healing. Don't tell anybody." So I listened to him. Well, upon leaving the doctor, they said for the first year of his life, every week he would have to come have his eyes checked out, because if the abnormal growths got any larger, they would start looking at different options for sooner. And so I sat in my car and I cried, because I was wondering, how am I going to go back to work? How are we going to have insurance for all of this? How am I going to alter my life to take my son to the doctor once a week just for eyes? And Tim was like, "We're just going to believe in God. Don't tell anybody," and keep going to the doctor. Well, for about the first month of his life, I took him to the doctor, no changes. And then Miss Kathy and Jamie reached out to me, and they wanted to come see the baby because he was finally at home, and we were accepting people at the house. And Miss Kathy and Miss Jamie, they came and they sat with me, and we talked a bit. And of course, Tim told me, "Don't tell anybody we're believing for healing." But of course, I know they have faith as well. So I told them a little bit about his eyes and how he wasn't seeing as much, but not his diagnosis. And immediately, Jamie was like, "Don't say anymore. I've got a video that you should watch. It's a little bit funky because it's black and white and it's an old school video. But watch this video. I think it'll help you." And so they spent a couple hours with me. We talked a little bit, and she left. She sent me the video. So for the first couple hours, I didn't check out the video. I'm with the boys. Tim's out at work. Farrell was sleeping. Titus was up with me. And Aziel was just laying in his bassinet right across from me. And I'm like, okay, well, she's got good video, so I'm going to check this video out. Well, it was a A.A. Allen video about revival, and I'm like, as soon as I clicked it open, the enemy was in my head like, "Don't watch that. That's an old school video. This stuff isn't real." And immediately the Holy Spirit checked me, and he was like, "Trust in the Lord." So I get to watching this video, and he's having several people coming up. One of them was a blind woman, and he started talking to the blind woman about her faith and asking her, does she believe that the healing is real? And I immediately stopped the video, and I'm like, because I talked to God, and he's funny with me, and he's like, I'm like, "God, is this what you really want me to do?" And God's like, "Yeah, keep watching." So I watched the video, and he asked the woman, did she have faith? And then the woman closed her eyes, and after she said that she had faith, he began to pray for her, and he put his hands over her eyes, and he said that by Jesus' stripes she was healed, now receive your sight. And I paused the video. I'm like, "No, God, you don't want me to do this." And he's like, yes, I want you to heal the baby. And I began to praying and worshiping God and crying and making sure that I was right with him. And then I listened to the video again. I did exactly what the video said, and then I began to pray in tongues. And Aziel got scared while I was praying in tongues, and Titus got scared, and I picked Titus up. And then I looked down at Aziel because he became calm after I was praying in tongues. And Titus is like, "Mommy, he's looking around. He's looking around. I see him. He's looking around." And I seen the baby before. He would never make eye contact with anybody. If you talk to him, he wouldn't look at you in the eye. He was looking at us. And so I started thanking God for his healing. I was praising the Lord. I was crying. I was like, I was just astonished because my baby that for 3 months, half of the 3 months, he had glasses over his eyes where he couldn't even see anyone. And the next time we went to the doctor looked in his eyes and he said, "How long was he in the NICU?" he said, wow, this is weird. Let me put some more eye drops in his eyes and come back and check in 10 more minutes. And he said, how long again was your son in the NICU? And I said, he was in the NICU 3 months. He said, wow, this little dude's a rock star. His eyes look fine. I want to see you back in a month. So the 2 weeks came by, and I told Tim, I said, I'm a little bit nervous about this next appointment because I believe Aziel is truly healed, but I want to wait until that next appointment of a month to make sure that it's so. Well, we went to the 1 month appointment, and the doctor was like, wow, this baby doesn't even look like he's been in the NICU. I don't want to see him back to a 1 year annual checkup. And recently he came up on his 1 year checkup, and I give glory to God because my son is healed.
Amen.
He is healed.
Amen. Amen.
Tim told me not to cry, but I couldn't.
Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? That's so good. God is good. Don't you remember how much when you first got saved, you believed everything? We need to mature, but it's faith in Jesus and what he did that gets the job done, okay? It's him. It's all him. Even when we heal, it's him through us. And she just, with childlike faith, said, you know what? I'm going to do the video, didn't she? Prayed, and then Aziel got healed. Amazing, right? Amazing. Amazing. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Honestly, it just blesses me so much. And she blesses me, by the way. You know, everything I tell her, she does. So she said, you know, I say, you know, just minister to people wherever you go. And she does. She'll. I remember one story. We're coming out of the hospital, and I go to my car, and she leaves. She calls me later. She's like, I was praying for the lady in the elevator, you know. Listen, we must keep doing while we're pressing. Okay? And if you think you can't, you won't. But if you think you can do all things through Christ, you will. That's really the bottom line of it. Getting back to our first love, not allowing all the weariness to drag us down, going back into this place of, God, I trust you. I believe. I know it's going to happen. I know it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one more thing. I have confession sheets here. I have 20. Well, now I guess I have 19. Brother Barry, can you pass these out? Because I was getting ready to leave. I was going to be here, like, you know, early enough. And the Lord reminded me, he wanted me to do this with you. This is just, you know, to remind us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We don't let fear stop us. We don't let, you know, the either-or mindset settle in where, well, I'm either going to get mature or I'm going to do the things that I should be doing. We have it all. We're going to say them together, okay? Once everyone has one. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord God. I love you. I love you. I worship you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I don't know if are some people sharing, Barry? Are some people sharing or no?
I gave one to
everyone. Okay, well, some people at the back, maybe some people beside each other can share. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we're going to say this together once we have a second. I'm going to try and do a cadence that I think everyone will be able to follow. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Okay, we ready? All right. Thank you, Lord, that you are for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Therefore, if anything comes against this truth and tries to make me feel less than everything your word declares about me, I will cast it down. I cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I say that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Therefore, I will not be afraid or worry about anything. Worry and fear are not from you, Lord. Therefore, I will not be anxious, worried, stressed, uneasy, panicked, or fearful in anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I will let my requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Lord, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You are love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Therefore, fear cannot stay. Fear, you are a liar, and I refuse you now in Jesus' name. Lord, your love has been shed abroad in my heart, and that love casts out all fear. So I say that I am full of the love of God and free from all fear now. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and peace. Thank you that you are with me and helping me to conform my mind to your complete truth. I will not be satisfied with anything less. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. My mouth will only speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing contrary to truth or perverse in them. I love your word, Lord, and I will line my words up to what you say. I will rely on your strength and not my own. I will walk by faith and not sight. I declare that you are my first love and that my heart still burns for you, Jesus. I will go forth as you lead and minister to others, and I will give you the glory at all times and in all ways. I declare this now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. You can do it. Don't be weary in well doing. God is with you. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. Return to your first love. Okay. It's available. And don't quit. When you feel like quitting, say, no, I'm not the one that's faint of heart. I'm going to go forward and do everything God's called me to do. Amen. Amen. Please stand tonight.